Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help each of us now as we think about your word and what it looks like to tell other people about Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're a Christian here this morning, I wonder if for a moment you could begin to paint a picture in your mind. Now, don't worry, you don't need to close your eyes, nothing like that. But I want you to start to picture a person, maybe a group of people, that stepped out of their comfort for you to know about Jesus. Maybe picture where and when. Think about what they did to tell you about Jesus. Well, as you're painting your own picture, let me tell you my picture. I grew up going to church. I went to Sunday school. I sat in church services longing for the six verse hymns to be over. You would think I knew about Jesus from a young age, but sadly, the church I went to didn't really trust the Bible the way it should. And they didn't hold out the good news of Jesus clearly. I suppose there was lots about Jesus, but there was no clarity. Instead, there was probably a bit of confusion. And there was no call to turn from sin and to trust in Jesus for myself. But wonderfully, one group of people did hold that good news of Jesus out to me. They were a group of volunteers that every summer gave up 2 weeks of their holiday to run a holiday Bible club in the place where my family went on holiday in Scotland. And over a number of years, I learned about Jesus and learned that I had to trust in him for myself. He wasn't just information to understand, but he was somebody to put my trust in. Now, why did those people do that? 2 weeks of your year is a big commitment to volunteer. Now, granted, some of them were teachers, so they may be a bit more holiday than others. But even 2 weeks is a lot of commitment for teachers. So why do they do it? Was it purely duty? In response to a command? Sometimes you might think that. I have to tell people about Jesus because I've been told to do so. I have to be obedient to my king and his commands, so I must tell others. Now, Jesus does tell us to tell other people. We thought about that last week. But that's, of course, not the whole picture, is it? Passionless duty and obedience wasn't what those volunteers were like who were running that holiday club for young people when I was a boy. In fact, cold and passionless was the exact opposite of what they were like. They were warm. They were fun. They were exciting and passionate about what they were doing. It was their joy to be there. In fact, it was so obvious to me as a child, I think I wanted to be on the team of volunteers before I really understood the good news of Jesus. I wanted to be part before I truly understood. These people were full of joy to be there and share Jesus with me and my family and other people who were there because they knew Jesus and how wonderful he is. They had come to know Jesus and wanted others to know about him too. And my guess is if you were to paint your own picture of those who told you about Jesus and his good news, that would be their motivation. They didn't tell you about Jesus purely because they were commanded to do. Of course, they were commanded to do so. But they did so because they had found in Jesus someone worth telling others about. And friends, that should be our motivation as we think to share the good news of Jesus with others. Nobody wants you to go home today and this afternoon out of duty, knock on your neighbor's door and share the good news of Jesus with them on their doorstep out of duty. They don't want it, and I don't think anybody here would want you to do that either. If we're to share the good news of Jesus with others, it must be because we want to, because we found in Jesus somebody we love to share with other people, because Jesus has changed us and we want others to know about this wonderful person who has changed us. Maybe the biggest thing for us to do if we're to share the good news of Jesus with other people is to make sure that we've grasped it for ourselves, or that we re-grasp it if we've lost our grip on it. Friends, let me encourage you to once again remind yourself of who Jesus is and what he's done for you. Be excited by Jesus and all that he is to you, and share him with others. As Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, 45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let that be true of each of us. That should be our motivation, hearts full of joy. But if that is our motivation, how do we go about doing it? Well, last week we saw that we're called to go and tell. We're called to go to all sorts of people, even when it's hard, and we're to tell them about Jesus from his word, the Bible, and our aim in doing so is that they come to be followers of Jesus, loving, trusting, and obeying him. And that was maybe the obvious starting point when we think about telling other people about Jesus. But this week I want to draw out something else that is a bit less obvious, but I think equally important, especially as we think through our witness as individuals and as a church family. For if we scatter as God's people into our various communities, into the world, to tell other people about Jesus, where we have opportunity in family, in work, in our community, we also gather as God's people like we're doing today. We gather on Sundays, we gather in house groups, we gather in one-off events, we gather Sunday by Sunday. In fact, in some church traditions, they call local churches congregations. And congregation is an old-fashioned word of gathering, isn't it? The people who congregate, a gathering. But what does that gathering have to do with telling people about Jesus? Some people think that we go out to tell others, but that the gathering of Christians is just for Christians. It's a place where we gather to be equipped, where we worship God together, where we are built up by God's word. And of course, it is all those things. But we also need to see that we should expect and indeed invite people who aren't Christians into our gatherings. We should want people who don't yet believe in Jesus to be here with us. We should want them to come and see, so that they can come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. And the reason we should do this is, firstly, that it is a biblical model. It is a model for us. And we see that in the Bible when people meet with Jesus and they call other people to come and see. And this is seen really wonderfully in John chapter 4 that we read out earlier. And I was mentioning the story of this Samaritan woman and Jesus. Here is a woman who would have been a very surprising convert. She was ethnically other. She was not a Jew, but she was from Samaria. But she was also someone who had a past. Yet she meets and sees and understands through the conversation with Jesus who he really is. She sees beyond the outward appearance, and she sees that this is indeed the promised one of God. Here is the King and Savior. And what does she do? Well, she goes out and tells others. And as she does so, she calls them to come and see this Jesus. And as we saw, didn't we, in John chapter 4, she's a remarkable teller of the good news. Many believe in Jesus because of what she said, and they come and see, and many more believe in his word as Jesus taught them. Now, of course, Jesus is not here physically today. We can't go and tell other people to come and see Jesus the way that lady did. I hope that's obvious, but let me just spell that out again. Jesus is not living here in this world in the flesh. We can't say, come and see Jesus. He's going to be at my church on Sunday. You can look at him with your eyes. He's not. He's in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. So how can we tell people to come and see? Well, we can tell people. I suppose we can't tell them to come and see visually, but we can tell them to come and see in the sense of coming and hearing Jesus. We can call people to come and hear him. But where do we hear his voice? Well, we hear his voice in his words and wherever his word is faithfully taught and preached. And that means that when we say to someone, come and see, we should encourage friends, family, work colleagues to come with us to a gathering of God's people. We should ask friends to come to church. And that's counterintuitive for some people, for some of us, because we tend to think, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, that church is for the Christian, not something for somebody who's not yet a Christian. Don't they only come to church when they're converted? Well, the thing is that the Bible seems to assume that people who have not yet trusted in Jesus may well be at one of our gatherings. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's an assumption in the Bible. They will be there. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you read all of it yourself, you will probably be deeply confused. And even for the most mature Christian people, 1 Corinthians 14 is a tough passage to understand what Paul is getting to. We don't always understand context, and it's a bit difficult and quite confusing. And if we discussed the whole chapter, we'd be here for weeks. It's a big one. But what is really clear is what is said in verses 23 to 25. Let me read those again. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say you're out of your minds? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Paul seems to assume, doesn't he, that outsiders, people who are not yet Christians, may well be in one of our gatherings. He or she might see us conducting our meeting or service. They'll be watching and wondering about it all. So the very least we can say that those who are not Christians can be at church gatherings. And let me just say that if you're not a Christian here today, you're very welcome. It is great to have you here. So if we're to say to those around us, come and see, come and hear, and we invite them to a gathering of God's people, how will they hear the good news of Jesus? Well, let's get down to some brass tacks in our context in two ways that this might play out. If we say to somebody, come to church, come and hear about Jesus. Two ways that this can play out. Firstly, there are special gatherings. Special gatherings. These are events that as a church we might run where the good news of Jesus is explained clearly and simply so that someone who is interested can come along and be winsomely introduced to the good news of Jesus. These might be events with where specific questions are asked and answered. They might be larger events or they might be smaller events. But what's key here is that they are events we can with confidence say to a friend, come and hear about Jesus clearly and simply. And we've run such events in the past, and we hope to run some in the future, starting this year with the 3-2-1 course. This is a great 4-week course that includes video material and discussion and explains the good news of Jesus and gives opportunity for questions to be asked as well. This course and other events just like it, maybe like our Christmas services, our Easter services, and other one-off events are great ways to say, come and hear. Come along and hear, because sometimes we don't always feel that we've got the right words to say to our friend. We maybe struggle to get our words out. I don't know how to answer the question they've just asked. I don't know how to do that. But we can say, come along. Come along and find out about Jesus. We're running a course. We've got a special event on. Come along. Jesus will be made known to you. And the wonderful thing about such meetings is that others can often do what we cannot do. They can teach and speak about Jesus in ways that sometimes our relationships don't allow or which we don't feel able to communicate. So that's special gatherings. That's the first way. And then secondly, there are regular gatherings we can invite people to. The main gathering we can invite friends along to is our regular Sunday services in the morning or in the evening. Because the great problem of a special gathering is that it doesn't run every week. It doesn't run all the time. They run to meet a need. They run for a season. But they don't run every week, not least in our context. But there is a gathering that runs every week, and that is our Sunday services. And that, of course, is the context of 1 Corinthians 14. A regular church gathering and service, where it's expected that outsiders, people who don't yet believe in Jesus, will be welcome and will be present. But you might be wondering how the gospel is communicated in a local church service. What, you might be panicking, are you asking me to do, Sean? How can a sermon series on an Old Testament book communicate anything about Jesus to other people? How does an old hymn with archaic language speak to someone who knows nothing about Jesus? How will someone understand complicated theological language that inevitably has to be used from time to time? Now, those, of course, are legitimate concerns that we shouldn't shrug off. I certainly don't want to ignore those sorts of worries. So how does a regular Sunday service communicate the gospel with all these challenges? Well, firstly, we shouldn't panic and make Sundays all about a special gathering, turning a Sunday into purely a meeting for people who don't yet know about Jesus. Sunday gatherings are primarily for God's people, where we gather to worship God, to hear his word, to praise his name, to bring him glory. And as we do so, we're built up and encouraged as Christians. That's what Sundays should be about in the first place. And that is what makes sense of 1 Corinthians 14. Paul is not saying, course correct, run every Sunday as a 3-2-1 course. He's not saying that. He's saying, make what you do intelligible. Make what you do intelligible. I think we do gospel communication a great disservice if we make every single Sunday service a special event pitched for an outsider. We should do that sometimes, from time to time, but it shouldn't be the regular diet. So how does a regular service where Christians are singing God's praise, here, they're gathering to hear the Bible read and preached, how does that communicate the gospel message to an outsider? Somebody who comes along, who's interested, who wants to know more? Well, let me highlight a few ways that will hopefully encourage each of us to invite a friend along to just a regular Sunday service. Firstly, the shape of a Sunday service should be gospel-shaped. We see this in the structure of our service. If you turn to your orders of service, you don't need to do it straight away, you can do it later if you want. We gather at the call of God and his word. We praise him and speak of him who is our great God. We then reflect on his call on us in his law, recognizing that we've not lived as we ought to live. We've sinned. So we confess our sin to God, and then we are assured of God's grace by his word. That is the gospel message, isn't it? We've sinned, we confess, and we're forgiven. So the shape of the service communicates something of the good news of Jesus. Secondly, the songs that we sing. Now, you might worry that a sermon series on an Old Testament book might not be the most accessible to a friend. We're going to be starting a sermon series in an Old Testament book next Sunday. We'll be looking at Ezra over the coming weeks, a great Old Testament book. But the shape of the service can point us to the gospel, and also the songs we sing point us to the gospel. As we gather, we sing, don't we? We sing about 4 songs in our services each week. We sing of our great Savior Jesus. We sing as a way of responding to his grace to us. And these songs often express the core of the gospel in a way that is often much more memorable than any sermon that I will ever preach. Thirdly, and most obviously, the gospel is communicated in the preaching of God's word. For all good faithful preaching and teaching should proclaim, set forth, or point to Jesus. We don't want to preach sermons in this church, that someone from Islam or Judaism or any other world religion could come along and agree with. Not to be ruder about it. But we want to preach sermons that exalt Jesus, whether we're preaching from the Old Testament or from the New Testament. We want to make much of Jesus. We want to hold Jesus up and say, look at him. Ezra speaks about Jesus. Exodus speaks about Jesus. The whole Bible points us to Jesus. That's what I want to do as your pastor. I want to preach in a way that communicates some facet of the good news of Jesus every Sunday. Fourthly, we see the gospel in what we often call the sacraments, in the Lord's Supper and in baptism. The Lord's Supper reminds us, doesn't it, of the death of Jesus for our sins. Baptism points us to the washing of our sins away by the blood of Jesus. And then fifthly and finally, in the church itself, we see the gospel at work. We see a diverse community that demonstrates the gospel as we love each other, as we care for each other. If someone comes to a Sunday gathering, how we interact with each other and with them is a witness to the good news of Jesus. So to say to somebody, come and see, is to invite someone to come and see the gospel displayed, the gospel shape, and to be heard amongst a people formed and sustained by the gospel. So friends, how do we tell people about Jesus? We go and tell, and then we invite people to come and see. To special events, but also to the regular gatherings of God's people, that all might come and taste and see that our God is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us as your people to be a people that love to tell other people about Jesus, that we are happy to share the good news of him with others. He is our great Lord and Savior. He is the one that died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with your word. He is the one who we worship and adore. He is the one in whom we believed. And we pray that you'd help us to make much of him with other people, that we would love to tell others, and that we would be warm and welcoming as we invite others to come in to hear and to see more of Jesus. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be changed by him and to share him with others. Amen.